Episode 2246, My Strength is My Story with Mark Victor Hansen and Crystal Dwyer Hansen. Ask.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Mark Victor Hansen. You got it? Chicken Soup for the Soul. And his gorgeous wife, Crystal Dwyer Hansen. I gotta say, they are like family. It was if we were chatting in my living room. We weren't, but it sure felt like it. I cannot wait for you to hear our chat. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of the Hansons, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Well, I got to tell you, we talked about so much stuff. Have you ever thought about a bucket list? Oh yeah, we talked about God's bucket list. And it even gets better. We talked about a mentor of mine that I didn't realize that they knew. Amazing, what a small world. But on top of everything, it was about asking. Have you ever wanted something, but you were afraid to ask? Have you ever let fear take over your dreams and you just buried everything deep inside? Well, I'm telling you right now, there are three things you can do, three ways you can ask, but you gotta listen first. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mark and Crystal Hansen. Ask. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a dynamic duo in the house, Mark Victor Hansen and Crystal Dwyer Hansen. Mark and Crystal have been married coming up on 10 spectacular years. Parents to their combined 5 children and Grampy and Mimi to their 6 precious grandchildren. You probably know Mark Victor Hansen for the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series with over a 500 million books sold. He is a prolific writer with 307 books authored or co-authored, including The Aladdin Factor and The Power of Focus, just to name a few. Now, Crystal Dwyer Hansen is a transformational life coach, wellness and nutrition expert, and author of her book, Skinny Life. Both are international speakers and entrepreneurs. Their latest project is a joint venture, co-authoring their new book, Ask: The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Get your favorite soup. I'm telling you, it's probably Chicken Soup for the Soul. And let's dive in. Welcome, my friends. How are you, Crystal and Mark?
Oh, great. Thanks, Christiane. We're so happy to be here with you.
I am absolutely thrilled, too. And I know you guys are absolutely jam-packed. I can't imagine. You have spoken in, what, over 70 countries?
Yeah, 80 actually, and we talked to 7 million people and got more airline miles, I think, in our butts than anybody on the planet.
Well, how has that worked with you not traveling as much now with COVID hitting in?
It's been interesting. You know, it's amazing how, Zoom, we stepped in with Zoom and just started doing everything. We started doing virtual events and podcasts. And so honestly, we haven't missed a beat in our work in some ways, but we miss the physical presence. We miss like being live with people and feeling each other's energy and all of that. We really, really miss that. We're so excited to open up. We have kept going as much as we could. Like whenever we could travel someplace, if it was open, we went. If the restaurants were open, we were out the first day they opened up. We don't live in fear, you know, because, and we actually got COVID. But we just took our ivermectin and our hydroxychloroquine and we had a really mild case and got over it real fast.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. Well, it is a crazy season, all the more important for your brand new book, Ask. But before we dive into the book, I have to ask you, what brings each of you joy?
Oh, gosh. When you first said that, what popped into my mind was the grandkids. There's just something about being in their childlike presence and exuberance that puts you back into your child self. And I think that is one of my most joyful moments, those moments that I'm with our kids, being together, being in nature, just having the balance of life and the freedom to choose our life the way we want to because of the understandings that we have, that we've developed over time, you know, through our own hardship, of course.
Of course. Mark, what about you? Would you second her response?
I would have said, first of all, being with her is a joy.
I said, being with you. Honey, I did say that. I said, we're each other.
We're in absolute adoration of our grandkids because one of them is a prodigy, but all of them are doing genius type stuff in their own little zones. I mean, it is a joy to one's heart. How's that?
Oh, I love that. Well, I just recently had our first grandbaby. And he turned 4 months today, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's just, I can only imagine. I look forward to many more, I hope. With 5 children, hopefully I'll have a few more at least. Yeah. Well, Mark, for you, you are a prolific writer. Give us some insight as to what it was like growing up and your love for words.
Wow, that is an interesting question. First of all, my parents were Danish immigrants, so Danish was the first language spoken. My dad came here at 14 years old and didn't have ESL, English as a second language. So we never had books in our house. So I was in remedial reading from first grade to sixth grade, which most people would go, wait a second, you're world's best-selling author and you didn't learn really how to read until somewhere along there. And, you know, so they say, well, you're not all that smart. That's why it's so important to learn how to ask, because obviously, I started asking by the time I was in high school, my sophomore year, we had a superstar English teacher who, when I won the book of the year in front of 60,000 people for selling more books than anybody, my parents had passed away. So I brought Mr. Reinhardt and his wife, and I said, I want everyone to give him a standing ovation, please, because he got me enamored with writing and enamored with vocabulary and deciding to become a great word merchant, speaker, author. And would you please applaud Mr. Reinhardt as a great, inspiring teacher, mentor, friend, and lifelong buddy. And it just, you know, the audience went nuts because they expected me to give it to my parents, but they weren't here. So I gave it to Mr. Reinhardt. I got great pictures of us together still. So it's interesting. You can go from illiterate to literate, even at a later age, and still do phenomenal stuff because we've got people watching this that are 40, 50, 60, 70 that said, well, I can't do it. And one more thing, just to hitchhike and prove positive, we're close friends with Dr. Ben Carson. Ben is won the Horatio Alger Award like we have, and he and his wife Candy, and we've helped them get all the kids through school. But his mother, 89, just got her PhD, and she was totally illiterate when she had Ben back in San Diego at 14 years old. We're in a place you can ask yourself to find your destiny, and it does. Getting a great education at 89 to me is a great, heart-touching, astounding thing.
Wow, what inspiration you are. I mean, just from your own childhood, and you have really continued to foster those relationships and help others and generations up and coming. Now, Crystal, you are this warm, genuine person that people are so attracted to. They just are drawn to you. What was it like for you growing up and your desire to help others transform their life?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a family of 9 children, same 2 parents. And so I was the 3rd eldest child. So I had a lot of responsibility, but I would say, you know, I also had a lot of love. I had the ability to nurture because I had, so, you know, 6 younger siblings. And so I think I learned at a young age to nurture and just cherish these little human beings that were growing up, you know, under the same roof I was. And my mom was really unusual. She was way ahead of her time in terms of, like, she grew these gigantic organic gardens and we did juice cleanses. So she was really into health. She had a grand mal seizure when she was pregnant with me and went to this neurologist. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And the guy gave her, you know, this prescription and said, I don't know what's wrong with you, but take these pills for 2 years and come back and see me. And my grandmother, when she went home, said, don't you dare take those pills. You've got this baby in your womb. So my mother threw the pills down the toilet, and my dad was all worried because he'd seen the grand mal seizure, and it was scary. But my grandmother said, come see this naturopathic doctor who moved in the town just north of my grandmother. And he was a chiropractor, naturopath. And so my mother went there. He treated her with, you know, natural herbs and gave her like a chiropractic adjustment. I was born strong and healthy. And then fast forward 8 years, when I'm 8 years old, I'm at my dance lessons, and my dance teacher, Miss Gossman, she had this son who was, and he came home one day and he couldn't talk. And I said to my mother when I got home, what's wrong with him? She said, he's my age, but he doesn't know how to talk, Mom. And his mouth just hangs open. How could he be my age if he doesn't even know how to talk? And she proceeded to tell me that at the time she went to the neurologist, there was another woman in the doctor's office who also had a grand mal seizure, and she had taken the medicine that my mom was prescribed, and her child was born, you know, mentally retarded, which was so sad, so sad. So I'm just so thankful that my mother questioned, you know, she asked the right question. She didn't just take the doctor at the time, his advice. She really felt intuitively, and so did my grandmother, that that was not the right recommendation. And so they started asking for a different, you know, a different answer. And that's how I ended up. We ended up with this naturopathic doctor. And my mom raised 9 kids that were just amazingly healthy. We never really took, I don't even remember taking an antibiotic. So it really shaped my path forward as a wellness coach and, you know, just as an individual who really loves living a super healthy life.
Oh, that's incredible. I love the background. You know, it really gives us a taste as to what more you get in your book, Ask. So let's talk book. Where did this idea of Ask come from?
Well, we've been blessed, like you said, to be in all these great countries, meet these 7 million people, and we get pictures with all of them. I mean, some of them thunder up and think, oh boy, they're going to, because I wrote all those money books like 1 Minute Millionaire. If I just touch Mark and Crystal, I'll be rich instantly, like touching the hem of the garment. It's not that easy.
Can you rub off on me, please? Oh, no.
That's right. The genie, the lamp.
Yeah. Anyhow, so we started asking ourselves, what's the difference between, there are nice people that are educated people, sophisticated people, wonderful people, seemingly competent, but, and Crystal kept saying, look, they got 4 times more ability than they're using. What's the difference between those who succeed a little and those who catch on to their destiny? And it's one thing only we could find, and that is you ask. And we said, look, you don't get what you deserve in life, you get what you ask for. And we asked our way through problems personally, familiarly and otherwise, and in business, of course. And then we looked around and all these people get stuck in their ask, so to speak. And that's why one of the people we interviewed in 26 Superstar Interviews, because you read the book, Rita Davenport is our dear friend and neighbor. She said, you got to get your ass in gear.
I love it. And, you know, Rita is awesome. I came to know her and really be mentored from her when she was head of Arbonne. And they brought her in. And so it was interesting when I got to that story, I was like, whoa, it just drew me in. She is an incredible woman. Very much so.
He had me talk to 17,000 Arbonne women at one time. And she just, we have dinner with her at least, I'd say once a month. And we're also raising a lot of money together for, we've been co-chair of Child Help, which has had 10.5 million kids get out of abuse, neglect, and sex trafficking. So, and she's very prominent in that with us. So we're very thankful.
Oh, well, the stories that you share in here are absolutely incredible. That's why everybody's going to want to pick up their own copy of Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Now, the book is broken down into 3 parts. However, you open the book with a fable, the fable of Michaela. Why start with a fable?
You know, we love stories, and we love the idea of a fable because you learn so much from a story like that. It's basically, I wrote the fable, and you know, it's kind of every woman, every man's story. But when you go through, when you read through a fable, you start to see yourself. It becomes, or parts of it become like a metaphor for your own life. And that's what we wanted to start with. We wanted people to see through this journey of Michaela's journey, how that is similar to their own journey. Because Michaela starts off, as you know, she's lost everything, lost her mother, father, lost her house. It was taken away by the bill collectors. She's lost all hope. And her job every day as an indentured servant at the stone quarry is to move heavy rocks from one place to another. And honestly, Christiane, I feel like as Mark and I have been on so many podcasts and, you know, worked with a lot of people, especially this year, a lot of people feel that way. They feel a sense of hopelessness or uncertainty, like what is next for me? And I'm not sure what to do. And that's where Michaela was. And then she takes this beautiful journey. She falls into the troubled sleep, right? And the being comes and takes her on this journey. I'm not going to give it all away. But he admonishes her to start asking the right questions and never stop asking. And little by little, you see her listen to that and start to take that journey. And it's like her life starts expanding in rings. And by the end of her journey, her life has become something completely different. And that's what we're showing people in the book, that your life, when you're willing to take this asking journey with us, will become something completely different, and in a very good way. And it's exciting. I mean, it's wonderful. You can't believe the number of people. I mean, big, strong, burly men who they're like, I cried so hard when I read this book because I kept seeing myself in it in different ways, you know, and people are like, wow, I want to write a whole, you know, I want to coach my clients on this. And we're doing a whole course on ask because it's that deep. It's that important, the asking journey, because it is an art and science, and you really need to dive into all aspects of it to really learn it and embrace it.
Well, and that's such a good point. With any dream, there are roadblocks, which causes us to detour with still the hope of reaching our destiny. You all write about the 7 roadblocks to asking. Highlight those for us just briefly, because everybody's got to pick up their own copy. But just to give them a taste, because I know for me, you talk about the fable. Oh, that fable itself is worth the price of this book. I would read it to my children if they're not, you know, old enough to understand every, you know, all the other chapters. But the fable, hands down, could stand alone. Just saying. So what are those roadblocks?
I will do that. But I got to say, that she wrote them. We're going to put them in 4 parts. And I said, sweetie. The fable. Yeah. And I said, we got to squish it together. And we're going to start the book. And it's the longest fable ever. So it'll probably get a Guinness Book of Records. And we believe, and then I'll go to the 7 roadblocks. We believe that it's going to be a great, inspiring, heart-touching movie because it was made, as she wrote it and neglected to say, I think, that it was made, written about during the time of kings and queens. The 7 fables, though, 7 fables. The 7 roadblocks, which all of us have one or more going at any given time, and we got to conquer them, is number 1 is a sense of self-worthfulness, which is really our self-awareness, and so it stifles and stops us. Fear, you've got doubt, you've got naivete, you've got excuses, you've got pattern paralysis, where you keep doing the same thing and expect something new. And Einstein said, if you do that, you're cuckoo, which in English, and he's Germanic, of course, German, but it means you're crazy. And then last but not least, disconnection. And any one of them can stifle, stop, thwart us. And we're saying, hey, look, we're here to help you go over, under, around, or through, get to the other side and get to your destiny. Because we believe unequivocally that you're born with a destiny that's great and it's coded in you. And you can only get there if you know the 3 asking, ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. 3 channels that, as far as we know, nobody else ever defined those that way before.
Yeah, it is amazing how you all break it down through all the parts and the stories that you use that really support everything, both your science and your personal experience. Of those 7 roadblocks, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Which one is it toughest for you?
For you. Okay. What?
For me?
Uh-huh. For you.
Wow. Yeah, I've never been asked that question before. I think I've had to overcome all of them. When I went bankrupt in 1974 and lost $2 million in one day, I thought, oh my gosh, my self-worth and my net worth were the same, I thought. And I was upside down, despondent, disconsolate, angry. I said the system was against me, the economy is against me, the government's against me. And I was in New York and reading. I built the Wall Street Racquet Club, Botanical Gardens, aviaries, houses. I thought I was a hotshot in 26. And the trouble is that I was building out of plastic, PVC, polyvinyl chloride, exactly the wrong time. We had an oil embargo, as you may or you may not be old enough to remember. But the point is I crashed, and then I asked the wrong question, which is the point. I said, oh my God, what if I go bankrupt? And I checked a book at the library because I didn't have any money, how to go bankrupt by yourself, which my best worst experience. 6 months I'm sleeping in a sleeping bag in front of another guy's room out in Hicksville, Long Island, New York. And I kept asking myself, what is it that I'm really supposed to do? What is my right livelihood? Where am I going to go, and what can I do, and how can I get there? All of a sudden, I said, I want to talk to people that care about things that matter that would make a life-changing difference. I go down to my 3 roommates for breakfast and say, hey, guys, I figured out I want to be a speaker. Do you know anyone that's young, not a cotton top, not a lawyer, not a doctor, not a celebrity, or we're in New York, so a Broadway star. So I asked them, do you know anyone? And amazing, a miracle of miracles. My roommate said, yeah, here's a ticket. There's a young guy, a few years older than you, talking in Hawpaw to all of us real estate people. He is phenomenal. Well, I jumped in a beat up old Volkswagen, a bankruptcy court, to not take, and race out to Hop Hog, watch this guy mesmerize an audience for 3 hours, Chip Collins. Later, he became my great friend. After he was done, I was in awe. I went up and I asked him, I said, Chip, can I buy your lunch and you teach me how to do this business? He'd look good. The chance you make it is 1 in 1,000. You ain't going to make it. Go do a real job. I said, no, let me just try. And he said, you stay out of real estate. I own the 5 boroughs of New York. You got it? I said, okay. What should I do? He said, life insurance. I knew zero about life insurance. I didn't have any. Didn't know what a premium was or a chartered life underwriter was. He tells me exactly the questions. He said, knock on 10 doors a day. One will finally say yes. One did, thank God. First 3 years, Tony Robbins and I were talking. The two of us, the only guys, as far as we know, they did 1,000 talks a year. I was either talking or selling seminars. And then somebody came up and said, hey, kid, you got such great stories. Do you have it in a book? And I thought, wow. And then I heard it again and again. I said, okay. So the first book I did self-published was Stand Up, Speak Up, Win. And I sold to little audiences for Stand Up, 6 people, 10 people, never more than 50. And I said, hey, team, it's in the New York Times bestseller. It's not a national bestseller, but it's my bestseller. And I want to sign to you, your wife, your kids, and your dog if you have one. And I sold 20,000 copies, made $200,000, which today is like $2 million. I thought, hey, I've come back, and it was wonderful. And what we're saying to everybody listening, if they learn how to get on the asking journey, they'll pivot. Because a lot of people are feeling, like Crystal said, despondent and depressed and disconsolate like I was and she's been. And we want to help them break out of this cocoon and go onward, upward, goodward, and Godward all over again.
Wow. Well, Crystal, I have to ask you, which one do you struggle with most?
You know, let me think. It's funny.
Mark, you can't intervene in this, okay? She's got to answer on her own.
Honestly, I've experienced all of them, you know, feeling unworthiness. You know, I think we all feel that. The naivete, I think naivete is a big one, because it's that whole thing that you don't know what you don't know. And so we're all naive, and our own naivete keeps us, it prevents us from asking the right questions or the questions that would lead us to our next thing. So that is all about, in the book, we tell the story of this young Filipino woman who worked for me when my children were very young. I had my daughters 16 months apart, had an older son. It was crazy at our house. So she was lovely and wonderful. And she would come every day and make these wonderful dishes from her homeland. And we loved her cooking. One day she shows up with this fruit and cuts it on a plate and hands it to me. And it's this juicy orange fruit. And I bit into it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the best fruit I've ever tasted, Melda. What is it? And she goes, it's a mango. And I go, a mango? How come I've never had a mango before? I've been all over Europe. I've traveled everywhere. How did I miss the mangoes? That's crazy. Where'd you get this? Thinking she imported it from the Philippines. She goes, I got it at the grocery store. I was like, jeez, you're kidding me. I pass this up at the grocery store every time. How naive am I? You know, but we're all naive. I'm limited to what I know. I grew up in Idaho where we had a lot of potatoes, but no mangoes. And so I'm like, it made me start to wonder, like, what else am I missing in life that is great, that's grand, that's the juiciest thing I've ever gonna experience, right? What people am I passing by? Because I'm just naive. I'm not, you know, aware that they're there. They could be my next best advocate, best friend, maybe a business partner, right? Who are we, what are we missing? What opportunities are we missing? What experiences? And so it made me think, I need to be more curious. I need to live in wonder more. I need to question everything. What is this person doing? What are they about? What is that company? What is that opportunity? And not be closed off, because we're all limited by our own naivete. And for me, that's a big one.
Yeah, that is a big one. And I think a lot of us struggle with that because we want to be known as something, like we do know something, and we try to, I wouldn't say enforce our knowledge, but we want to reinforce what we know. And so sometimes we're kind of stuck in between that rock and hard place. Well, the book is all about ask. Life isn't about the answer, but the question you ask. In each of your lives, where in your life do you wish you asked a question or a different one that might have shifted the outcome?
I'll let you go first.
That's a really good one.
These are great questions. Whoa.
Yeah, these Thank are you. Really deep, thoughtful questions, Christiane. I mean, there were times when I learned a great deal from asking the questions that I did ask. and they it changed everything. And I can certainly talk about that. I'd have to think about the ones where I wish I would have asked a different question. One thing, it's going to sound a little superficial, but one time I was I can think of one where I wish I would have asked a different question. So I was booked. Once I got launched in my career, I went through this whole like setback that we can talk about, but I was modeling. I went to a casting, and it was Walmart, and it was a big cattle call of women, young women coming, and they actually cast me for two different television commercials, a series of commercials that were running, and one I was going to play the teen role, and I was also going to play the young mother role. For whatever reason, I don't know why they wanted me for both, because there were a lot of girls there, but I really connected with them. That was the thing. I learned that it was better. It was much more about the real connection you had than this superficial, like just how you look as a model or as a talent, an actor. And so they were insistent, and they called my agency and set the date, and they said, we need her for this week. And it was a week where I'd planned to be with my boyfriend in Mexico. I was going to be out of the country. And so it was this struggle between my boyfriend's like, no way can you do this, you know? And I felt like I might, you know, would compromise my relationship or something. But, you know, it was just such a huge gateway for me in my career. And I wish I would have asked some different questions, because honestly, I could still go to Mexico with my boyfriend. But I really upset my agency, because then Walmart said, if we can't get Crystal, like he got so... If we can't get her, we're pulling out of your agency. So then I'm like responsible for, it created a tremendous amount of turmoil. And I wish I would have asked different questions. I probably would have made the decision to stick with the jobs, do it. And we could have gone to Mexico anytime, you know. But that is just one that comes to mind. It's a bit, it might seem a little bit superficial, but it was a big one at the time.
Well, at the time, it is big. What about you, Mark?
When I got divorced, which was painful and exceedingly expensive, I listened to my ex-wife, who I shouldn't have, and she said, oh, you don't need a lawyer. That'll be expensive. That'll cost you too much. By not having a lawyer, I lost millions and millions of dollars. It was the worst experience, because she was already giving me bad advice, and unfortunately, I was in such pain and being mentally and emotionally abused that I went along with it just to get out of the relationship. So it was expensive. Now, the good news is, long term, I got Crystal, and that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So there you go.
Oh, that's so sweet. You can give each other a kiss now. No. Okay, so for the people
who... Are you married, people?
So for the people who are all understanding the power of an ask, they're saying, okay, I'm all in. I get this. How do you ask the right question?
Right. So, you know, we say there are like three critical phases of asking, you know, especially, so we say, you know, the three channels through which to ask are ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. Each one of those is equally important. And you're going to intersperse those channels as you go, because your journey is going to start to unfold. And that becomes a lot more clear in the book as you read through. But there, you know, it starts with the asking yourself part. It always starts with asking yourself, right? So we say there are three critical phases to that. The first critical phase being, where am I now, right? Because how can you move forward if you don't understand where you are right now? And all the little sub-questions that come under that, is what I'm doing working? Or am I going through the roadblock of pattern paralysis? Am I stuck in something that hasn't worked last month, last year, and not going to work next month, next year? And all those other little sub-questions that come under, where am I now? Is it bringing me happiness? Is it what I'm supposed to do? Is it expressing my greatest, gifts and attributes? Then the second critical phase is, where do I want to be? And you know, Christiane, it is shocking to us how few people take the time with themselves to ask these questions, ask the right questions. Because the where do I want to be, what we say is start from the nth degree in mind. Start with your greatest imagination, because God gave you this imagination. It is what allows you, why you're created in the creator's image. You can create anything from your imagination, literally. And that's, if you think about it, that's how every wonderful thing has been created, right? In this world, every great thing has been created from someone's imagination. That's the same imagination you have. So we say start with that imagination. So where do I want to be? And imagine your greatest career, your greatest health and fitness, your greatest relationships. Start to picture what those are like and then ask the questions backwards. What am I doing in this most amazing career? Who am I talking to every day? Who are my clients? Who am I serving? What are my products? What are my services? How much am I earning? You know, how am I giving back? All of these things. And in that way, you literally start to engineer your perfect life backwards from the question, from asking the right questions. And then the third critical phase of questions we say is, so it's where am I now? Where do I want to be? And what specific action do I need to take to get there? Because look, we can't, you know, you can't sit around the couch with your blankie around you. Once you start to get these answers, and you will, you'll ask questions and you'll be writing them down and you'll go through the process and suddenly you'll start to get the answer. You'll get an illumination or a solution will start to form. Well, you've got to act on it. You need to put it in motion in the real world. So that's the action part. You know, that's just a basic overview of that ask yourself part. There's so much more to it, but
And that's why everybody's want to pick up their own copy of Ask, the bridge from your dreams to your destiny. Well, I mentioned there were three parts, kind of discussed a little bit about part one. Part two is pivot your destiny by asking. Due to the state of where we are with the pandemic, relationships are crucial right now. How can the ask strengthen relationships?
Well, we're asking people to read the book and go over every question with their significant other, spouse, mastermind partner, church partner, whatever, or Zoom partner, whatever it is. I mean, there's a plethora of partners these days. And when you go through it, what happens is you'll finally get to what your destiny is. We believe totally and absolutely that everyone is coded at birth, at DNA and RNA, with some destiny. Now, somebody says, you don't understand. I was born, I'm a doctor, and I'm an engineer, I'm a lawyer. Whatever it is, their profession, I'm a garbage man. It doesn't matter. That is what they do. That is not who they are. And that may not be where they're destined for. I thought I was going to be this big builder in New York. That wasn't my right livelihood. So, of course, if you do it from a spiritual point of view, God wiped that out. Boy, wiped out so completely. I said, I'm not going back to that. And then all of a sudden I said, oh, wow, I could speak. And then once I learned how to write, now I'm 312 books into it. And we get another five or six in process because I say never write one book at a time. Write three or four because you can't have writer's block on all of the ones.
That's right. Oh, that's good stuff. Well, okay, so now I've got to get into your expertise. So, Crystal, as a wellness expert, how can we begin to ask in order to shift our health?
Right. So, you know, often when we are, our health is not good, we're completely ignoring those questions. We're completely ignoring ourselves. And it starts with sort of that holding up the mirror, you know, am I willing to do the best I can for myself? Do I love myself enough to give myself the best? And that's a big question. And that can move a lot of people to tears because, you know, or do I continually put others' health and well-being above my own? And if the answer is yes, then why do I do that? Why do I put myself last? And then, and we have some great stories in the book about this. And women tend to do this a lot.
All the time,
right? Because our job is to nurture and care for everybody in the world, our kids, our family, our friends, our mothers, our everybody else. And suddenly we're like, where am I? Oh, I've lost myself, right? And so, but then we, you know, what I encourage my clients to ask is, can these people, what if they had to survive without me? Where would they be then? So we love all these people, right? How much do you mean in their lives? And we talk about some exercises around that. All of these questions are so important because, you know, God put you here on this earth for a very specific person. And we,
purpose.
Mark, purpose. And Mark and I have watched a number of these near-death experiences and read a lot of books. And what the common theme with those is, when people go to the other side, you know, a lot of times they come back because they're given the message, you haven't fulfilled your purpose. So don't think for one second you don't have a purpose. Okay, you are affecting people's lives every day. You are making a difference in people's lives. But in order to do that, you have to be your best expression. There's no way you can fulfill any purpose if you can't be your best expression. And there's no way you can be your best expression unless you have robust health and fitness. I mean, Mark always likes to say it's almost at the top of the pyramid, because you can't even have love if you don't have health and fitness. You have someone you want to love and you can hardly get out of bed. You know, you can't function during the day, you know, whether it's just poor health, or, you know, the diseases that can set in, or obesity, all of those things. So we have to, first of all, honor the temple. You know, we call it the body temple, because it really is. This is the temple where your soul resides, not just your soul, but this is where God resides in you, because God is not off in some faraway place, eons away, the sky. The only way God can work in your life is through you. So you literally are a temple. You're a temple for your own soul and a temple for God, God's love, God's wisdom, and everything you can share in this world, everything you were meant to share and be and express. So caring for the temple is super important, because if it breaks down, how do you do that?
Good stuff, Crystal. Good stuff. Well, Mark, business is built on asking the right questions. How can you lead with the ask that benefits both parties?
Well, okay, so I'm sitting in airplanes at the very beginning of my career, and a person usually would sitting next to me say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I triple your income and double your time off. And then I'd shut up. And inadvertently or advertently, they'd always say, whoa, go back. What is it you do? And I said, I triple your income, double your time off. And they asked, how do you do that? Because now I own the conversation, and 99% of the time I sold them into whatever seminar that I was doing. Like I sat with the people that created White Zinfandel, and they hired me and paid me often enough Zinfandel for the rest of my life. But it is great fun to not only know how to ask, but how to get others to ask. Is what your question is, it's twofold, because asking is one of the things I was thinking about yesterday. It's sort of a telephone call to God, and God's answer is a telephone call reception. And our position now is, you cannot ask anything without getting an answer. Now, it may not be immediate, but it's inevitable and ultimate. Like when I used to be with my great teacher when I was in graduate school, Bucky Fuller, he'd say, if you walk down the street and just ask what that tree was, and I didn't know the tree at the time, 3 days later, some guy says, well, that's a walnut tree. I didn't know, but the answer comes, and it unfolds fairly organically and fairly naturally and automatically.
Oh, good stuff. I love this. Well, you all are committed to helping others master the ask. In your lives, where are the masters for you in the ask?
Wow. So one of the most masterful askers in my life was my father. I mean, he questioned everything in the universe. He was a brilliant, you know, had a photographic memory, and he asked and questioned everything. And I think he sort of was my inspiration for becoming, you know, questioning everything, challenging everything, because that's what asking is about. It's like looking at the status quo and saying, what can change here? How can it change here? And you start to, you know, layer outwards with your ask. But he's a huge inspiration. Of course, my husband's a huge inspiration for me, because there is no bolder asker than this one right here. He never stops asking. And it's one of the things that's hardest for people, is asking others for support, for help, for whatever it is. And, you know, we talk about the studies, and you can look at the studies we looked at in the book. And, you know, most people studies show we're really terrified to ask one another things, ask favors, support, information, because going into the study, people felt like if they asked, they'd look stupid, ignorant, uninformed, or they would be perceived as being obnoxious or pushy. And really, none of those things turns out to be true in studies, you know, that people actually like to help other people and like to be, it's actually a compliment to be asked, because someone has confidence in you. Now, you're not going to get your request granted every time, but there's like an 80% more likely chance you will if you can learn to be that bold asker. And I'll tell you, I mean, just studying what Mark has done, that is the only way he was able to write for the soul. And, you know, the rest is history. They've sold 500 million books after being rejected 144 times.
Wow, incredible. Well, what about you, Mark?
I think I can do it best with a story. So we have a story in our Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams, Your Destiny, that was sent to us right before we go to press by Charlie Green. I'm at one of the mega churches out in the Midwest, because I really feel comfortable in talking at churches and doing sermons and all that. And at the end, it had gone so well. I had the manuscript, and I said, look, ultimately got turned down 144 times. But I said, look, this manuscript hasn't been sold, but I want to ask you to pray with me that we're going to sell a million copies of Chicken Soup of the Soul written by Mark and Jack. And the audience, oh, yeah, what a great deal. By the way, I got one more giant ask. I mean, his sermon had gone, Charlie said, beyond extraordinary. The people, the tithes have already been collected. I said, look, I got a little order form here. I want all of you to fill it out and prepay for the book. We won't cash your check until the book gets published by somebody. But I'm asking you now to buy the book in advance, even though it doesn't exist in published form. And he said, I looked around and I couldn't believe it. Every one of the 5,000 people all filled this thing out. And they said, I don't know. I like this guy. I will buy this book in advance. And that's what Crystal's saying about me being a bold asker. I mean, they didn't have to buy it. The minister didn't mandate it. It was voluntary, but it really worked. And we're so thankful. We're beyond blessed. And like she said in the beginning of this, the results people get from our transformational books are beyond compare. I got to be careful. I don't know your book, but I can tell you that I hope your books get the same phenomenal results.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you say there are three ways to ask. We've covered them. Ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. In this section where you write about asking God, you say, ask like a child. And even Crystal, you expanded upon that earlier. I want you to talk, though, specifically about asking like a child.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting. When we come into this world as children, we're just so beautifully uncorrupted in our ability to ask, right? We ask who, what, when, where, why, how. We want to know everything. And we also ask for more. I want more. And we also want everything. And we're not afraid to ask for it. And that is our beautiful little human spirit wanting to grow, wanting to evolve, wanting to experience more, wanting to know and learn everything. And then over time, you know, depending on how we were parented, how we were schooled, what happened in our work experience, just basic life rejection crushes that out of us. And then we're standing there as adults, you know, afraid, almost terrified, some people are, to ask for anything because of what someone might think of them or the feelings of unworthiness that we talked about in the roadblocks. Or we're standing there ashamed not to have all the answers. And that is so sad because it's opposite, the exact opposite of how we were as children. So what we're saying is, become like a child. You know, Jesus, as we said, talked about that in the book, you know, the innocence, that wonder. Look at the world with wonder again. That's what we're challenging you to do. When you read this book, really open your heart into the messages that it's giving you, because as you become more like a child, you're also walking in faith and trust instead of walking in unworthiness, because children believe they deserve everything. Why not? Why wouldn't they? There's nothing that's corrupted that yet. And so we're asking you to come back to that, come back to that beautiful space where you do deserve everything and believe that you do. And, you know, take this journey with us and let the messages in the book really, really find a deep place inside of you.
Well, I know there's so much and we can't cover it all, but I do have to touch on this one thing for you, Mark. You title something called God Loves Bucket List. And I just love this. I was like, I'm so doing this. Can you talk about how we can use a bucket list with God?
Well, first of all, because I'd been divorced, I wrote down 267 things I wanted in my ideal other person. The characters, the characteristics, the values, the virtues, everything. And I had to be those before I could attract somebody like Crystal in my life. And I certainly never told her those until after we got married. But we had to have the same values. We had to be spiritually alive. She had a desire to be fit forever. And like when we started dating, she said, oh my gosh, you take as many vitamins, herbs, and minerals as I do. And that's unusual. She had to want to travel. She had to love my business, but she had to have her own business because I don't want somebody to marry me for my wallet. I tried that one. That's the dysfunctional to the max. And what happens is most people are too superficial in that bucket list from my point of view. When you're young, I want him tall, dark, and handsome, and her, you know, she's got to be totally a knockout, hot-looking broad. Not good language, but you understand what I'm saying. And, right. And the point is, you know, from a 16-year-old mentality, that works. But it just think what they could do if they went deep with it. And the same for bucket list of your work, the same for bucket list of your spiritual growth. what is it you want to do? Who do you want to have mentor and all that? And then when you get it, you don't go, I got the milk, I got the eggs. That isn't the way you do goals. You write down your bucket list, and in the highest color of God, lavender or purple, you write down victory. And she was 267 out of 267. So we're two hearts as one soul. But better than that, it's like two candles that are lit jump eight fold. It's exponential. Is that we are twin flames, which is pretty much a perfected relationship. And if you really write it down, then the law of attraction, you become the attractor factor, and you're teleological, big word, but it means that you're a goal-setting, goal-seeking mechanism. You're going to get what you really ask for in life.
Oh, good stuff. And that whole thing of not crossing it out and writing victory, that just feels so good, because why do we cross it out? It's like we're saying it doesn't exist anymore, yet it really does, and we need to remember that. Well, for both of you, what question are you still asking that has not been answered?
I think the question for me that I ask all the time is, God, will you show me the way to live my greatest expression in life? You know, show me the way to express all you made me to be. And I think that's an ongoing question that I'll ask every day, and make sure that I'm truing it up and asking that question and looking for the answers and the ways that I can really be in this life all that I was made to be. You know, I think we all have that.
And I'll agree with that, but I'll just do the business part of it. I'm halfway to goal. My goal is to be 127 with options for renewal. And if you have high quality, like you want high quantity. And I've sold a half billion books, but I'm going to be the first to sell a billion. And when we were on a podcast for Amazon bestseller list, Mark Devereaux, the guy who is just amazing, started it saying, Mark, you are the Roger Bannister of books. I go, wow. The first guy to run a 4-minute mile. And then the next week, because the mental barrier had been broken, 119 people did it. So if I get to sell a billion books, a lot of people are going to get to sell that. And it makes all of us better off, because I think reading is a fundamental freedom of freedom. And obviously I had a great struggle with it as a youth. And I'm asking everyone to get, you know, my book. And then if they really fall in love with me, like I've fallen in love with tons of authors, you know, get the rest that I've written, or the ones that touch your heart, soul, mind, and body.
Oh, and we'll definitely have all that information in the show notes, because you guys are going to want to pick up your own copy of Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you all. Where can they find you?
So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I'm at Crystal Dwyer Hansen. He's, of course, at Mark Victor Hansen. And then, of course, you know, the book's on Amazon and in Kindle, audiobook, hardbound, however you like to read or experience books. And then we're asking people to, after you get the book, go to askthebookclub.com, because we're going to be doing this book club, and we'd like to invite you to it, because we want to help people continue their asking journey. So askthebookclub.com after you get your book, and then stay in touch with us. We love to connect. My website is crystalvisionlife.com. I've got a free resource there, an audio that's called Purge Messy Thinking, which we all need to do to, you know, create pure thinking. And then Mark's got a free resource on his website, markvictorhansen.com.
Well, we'll definitely have all that information in the show notes. You all have an incredible busy schedule. Before I let you go, I have one final question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story or asked gifted you?
My asking has gifted me the most beloved, wonderful, wise wife that a man could ever want to have or experience.
Aww.
Yeah, thank you, sweetie. So my ask has gifted me, you know, basically with breakthroughs that just have allowed me to experience so much success and so much joy in my life, and overcome, you know, everything that I needed to overcome, basically, truly.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, thank you so much. Many blessings and congratulations.
Thanks, Christiane.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.